to begin our comparison of Jaws for Windows and WindowEyes, I'm joined by some prominent technology users who'll give us their views in a roundtable panel discussion. Brian Hartgen is a producer of tutorials on the use of common applications with both screen readers. He's also a prolific WindowEyes set file developer, the editor of Infotech magazine, and an internet broadcaster. His website is at www.hartgen.org. Kathy Ann Murtha is an online and offline trainer in the use of applications for both screen readers. She also produces tutorials. Her website is at www.kathyann.com. Dean Martineau also produces tutorials and is the editor of Sound Computing magazine. He's an internet broadcaster too. His website is at www.soundcomputing.com. And another fellow internet broadcaster, Jim Snowberger, produces script files for Jaws for Windows. He's a programmer by profession, and his website is at www.wwsnow.com. We begin our panel discussion, made possible thanks to the resources of spiderphone.com, with a general look at value for money. The recommended retail price of Jaws for Windows is a couple of $100 higher than that of WindowEyes. So is JFW worth that extra money? Brian Hartgen.
I'm not sure if you get that much. I don't think it's just risen, actually, Jaws for Windows. I don't know about other parts of the world, but it's actually taken us up now to £585. And I'm very conscious, really, as I'm sure some of the other trainers are here, about new users. I'm not sure if Jaws is to rise any higher in price, whether people are actually going to say enough is enough. And I really don't think that £585, which is what it's risen to now, I think that's quite highly priced for a screen reader, really, and it's certainly out of the pockets of most people, I would say.
What do you think, Jim? More bang for your buck from Jaws for Windows, justifying the extra price?
Well, can't really respond fairly to that, not being knowledgeable of WindowEyes. I guess it's a matter of the market. If they can sell to rehab agencies who are less concerned than the average individual, and they manage to sell the volume they want, well, they'll set it there. That's how the market works. So I couldn't compare the two.
And what about you, Kathy Ann?
It depends on what you're looking for. I teach both applications, so I'm really familiar with both of them. And if you're one who has a real need right now for Microsoft Office to be able to access Excel and Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, etc., seamlessly, then I think that extra investment might be worth your time. If you're one who is more interested in internet access and email and just doing general computing and you're willing to wait for that access to Microsoft Office, then I think you might be wise to invest in WindowEyes and wait for them to come out with their new version, which they're working very hard to make Microsoft Office accessible. But it's a matter of what you need right now. And if what you need right now is that additional access to Microsoft Office, which really is what I find is the only advantage in Jaws for Windows right now, then I would say spend that extra money. But if you're willing to wait a little bit, let GW Micro get on their feet with that application, then I would suggest waiting and saving your money and investing in WindowEyes.
What's your take on this, Dean?
I pretty much go along with Kathy. I'm not even sure that even with that extra Office access, which is a significant feature, that I think that it's $200 worth more than WindowEyes. I also want to make a quick point that doesn't exactly fit into this discussion, but I think there are going to be some people that are going to want to know this. If you want to buy a screen reader right now, there are a couple of sources I know of, and I'm not making any money on this. You can get both WindowEyes and Jaws for a couple hundred dollars less than the suggested retail price as of today, and probably for I don't know how long into the future, but it's important to shop around a little bit.
I wonder if any of you have a view on whether, in fact, you really need both screen readers these days, if you can possibly manage it.
Actually, I would do that if price is not a real issue. The fact is, they probably both have their places where they shine, and that's the way I would have the best of both worlds. I really, really value the programmability of JAWS. I have come up with some rather nice solutions to specific application problems where I've been able to actually make the application do more than it itself can do. I've been able to make the screen reader do more than it was intended to do just because of that programmability. And I wouldn't have that with WindowEyes. With the extra couple hundred bucks, I get it. And my real goal is having good, clean, quick, reliable access to whatever application it is that I'm trying to run. And I would love to have both of them in my bag.
Anyone else?
Well, I tend to recommend if somebody has the ability to do it, even if they just have a demo of screen readers they can't afford to buy, that in itself can be pretty handy, maybe for checking out a new program, for doing something in a program. Perhaps you don't need a lot of access to tables right now in Office. You can get along with WindowEyes access, but you need to use a table from time to time. You run the JAWS demo for 40 minutes at that point, and I think it's unfortunate. We always say that blind people need to know more about their computers than other people, and I think this is the case. I think that it's the most competent users I know, most of them have a good knowledge of both screen readers.
Kathy Ann, you had something on that.
Yeah, I think if you can afford it, go for it, like the others have said. But I think, too, if you are someone who has specific needs in computing, you might want to investigate the two demos, find out which works best for you, and really learn one of the applications. If you have a solid foundation in Windows, then pretty much you can access anything you want with the help of people like Jim and Brian out there making scripts for JAWS and set files for WindowEyes. Really, the applications are starting to even the playing field. So if you are one who has to invest in just one, then I suggest investigating the possibilities. But if you've got the money to throw away and you want to try out both of them, then by all means, go for it.
Can we talk about the demos for a second? The JAWS timed evaluation is a 60-day type thing from the day you install it. You can pick it up and use it all day. And at the time I got my last WindowEyes demo, it was 30 minutes and then you have to reboot. Is it still that way?
Well, I think that there are two versions of the JAWS demo. There's one that actually does run for about 30 or 40 minutes. And there's also the timed evaluation one,
right,
which costs £50 over here in the UK.
Jeez.
You can get that for 60 days, I think it actually runs for, I think you're right. But you can use that for continuous use. And that does give you a real feel for how the product works. And then you can decide whether you want to invest the rest of the money in the product. And if I recall correctly, that £60 or whatever the equivalent in dollars is,
$39.95 in the US.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Right. That is deducted from the purchase price, I believe.
That's
correct.
Right. Yes. Yes. Let me talk about upgrade prices, because the initial purchase is one thing, and often people can find funding of some sort through some sort of agency for a screen reader if they have a vocational goal that's met by purchasing a screen reader. But often it's the blind person themselves that are left with holding the baby in terms of maintaining currency with the screen reader.
It's about $100 per upgrade. I think you actually get it about half that price if you buy their software maintenance agreement, which gives you two updates. And yeah, that's I don't know if that's steep or not. What is the WindowEyes policy on that?
Well, they've just introduced a software maintenance agreement, and I think that's going to, in US dollars, I think that's going to be about, I think it's about $160, something of that nature. Kathy Ann or Dean might have a clearer picture on that. But I think it's early days as to say whether one would save anything or not, because at the moment you have to buy the SMA and really the new upgrade as well, which is to WindowEyes version 4.1.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon the prices of the current upgrades to WindowEyes, because they are quite variable, they vary from about £45 here to about £100. So I'm not sure at the moment as to whether you would win with a software maintenance agreement.
With JFW, it looks like you do save money.
Yeah.
And it isn't you don't get to skip updates. It would be kind of nice to be able to go from a 3.3 to a 3.7, but you just pay more if you do that. So
it's incremental.
Exactly.
WindowEyes, that is. And I think historically it's been a lot cheaper to maintain WindowEyes. with the introduction of the software maintenance agreement, I kind of wonder if that's going to remain the case in the future, or if really the, you know, upgrading, if the difference will be somewhat negligible, the difference. I don't know, but I'm just kind of suspecting that.
Is there any difference in terms of what you receive with your product when you make the purchase of either JFW or WindowEyes? I'm just wondering, for example, whether people think that the training tapes that come with JFW these days are of sufficient quality, and I'm not sure whether there's really quite an equivalent in the WindowEyes area, although there is some cassette material that's there.
Could I comment on that?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I'm not sure that either of the manufacturers really have addressed the needs of a real computer beginner at all. I don't think the language in particularly the tapes from Freedom Scientific that go with the JFW package actually are couched in the language for new users at all. I actually downloaded a sample of one of the training tapes from the website this morning to have a listen to, and I got completely lost. I really did in some of the terminology that was used there. So I think both manufacturers of screen readers need to make some inroads into that, really. Certainly the manual, which we may talk about later for WindowEyes, is recorded onto cassette. It's recorded fairly clearly onto, I think it's 8 two-track cassettes. And while the reader actually does stumble quite frequently through the text, it has to be said, it does get clearly recorded, and you know on which cassette you're going to find which heading or subheading, although that's not actually repeated on the individual cassettes themselves, so you need always to refer back to tape 1. You do have a clear idea. The tutorial that you get with WindowEyes for beginners with upgrades or with whichever version of WindowEyes you buy is on 2 cassettes, and the idea, I think, is really to highlight some of the features that WindowEyes can provide and it does excel in. For example, access to email, some bits of Microsoft Word, and also Internet Explorer, and getting WindowEyes installed as well. As I say, it's on 2 cassettes, and it does tend to be fairly rushed, I think, really. And again, I frequently get the comment from new users that they need a more gentle approach to the learning of Windows and the concepts of it. And I think that they may need to produce a more extensive tutorial teaching people how to use these applications with WindowEyes, certainly.
Or but, someone else could.
Well, yeah.
An opportunity for you, sir.
Well, if I might be out of a job if these screen reader manufacturers came up to scratch him. But I really do think that they need to either do it themselves or to contract somebody who really can do the job properly.
I'd like to comment on that as well. I think what those tapes and what the manual in both of the screen readers concentrate on is teaching the screen reader. They don't teach Windows. They teach some of the rudimentary features of Windows, but they are not comprehensive Windows courses. If you want to learn Windows, you're going to need to go someplace to learn Windows. If you want to learn the screen reader and that's all you want to learn, then these might be good resources for you if you're already a Windows user. I think the mistake a lot of people make is they purchase the screen reader and think, okay, now I'm going to learn Windows. Well, that's not the case. You're going to learn the screen reader commands and how to use the screen reader, which is different from using Windows. So I think that while the screen reader manufacturers are doing a good job on teaching their product, I think it's up to others to fill in that need of teaching Windows and helping others learn. And I think the lists are a good place to begin. GW Micro has a wonderful list where everybody writes in and asks everything from the most basic of questions to the most advanced. And then you have the JFW Lite list on the other side of the spectrum, which does the same thing for the JFW users.
But, Kathy Ann, how do you get on the lists if you don't have the skills?
Well, that's something that we need to, I think, as a community, fill that void. I don't think that the screen reader manufacturers are going to start teaching Windows in general because that's not their focus. I don't see that happening anytime in the near future. They may put out tutorials, but you're going to have to pay for them. You're not going to get them with the product. I don't see that happening. It's like the Excel tutorial. It's like the SoundForge tutorial that Freedom Scientific sells. They are going to sell additional tutorials for $75, but I don't see them incorporating it into their product packaging.
I just feel that people
have some benefit from a tech support standpoint, that they provide some better Windows instructions to their people so that maybe the people can be a little bit more competent when they call tech support, and at that point they might decide to have something that they ship with their products. I think there would be some real purpose in them reworking what they ship so that it does teach some Windows skills.
It's interesting that you talk about the lists, Kathy-Anne, because Freedom Scientific does not run its own product support list.
No, they don't. Nick Allen runs the JFW list, and Debbie Scales does the JFW light list. And I respect GW Micro, because if you go over to GW Info, you're going to talk to Doug and Clarence and Aaron and everybody else who's actually building the product and get answers from them. And I really respect them for that. But if you want to reach the actual JFW light or the JFW people, you're going to have to go to their tech support number.
Yeah. Let's talk about
it. There's always been a frustration, actually. And you may well not reach anybody who can or will do anything about what you're talking about if you do that.
Let's talk about tech support, but first of all, I want to raise it in a slightly different way. Is it easier to influence the product development of one screen reader than another one?
I think it's very difficult to influence JAWS. I have tried valiantly for years, and I can't say I've been able to impact anything at all. That's extremely frustrating to me. As one who generally likes the product, that's one thing I'm least happy about.
Anyone else have a view on that? Would you agree that it's easier to get a feature added to WindowEyes than get it added to JAWS, for instance, or have a response?
I think that GW Micro, from what I've seen, really do have a client-centered approach. And they do, as Kathy-Anne has quite rightly said, frequent their own mailing list a lot, and they do interact with the users a lot. And I think, as a result, quite a lot of that must filter through. It can't help but filter through to the staff at GW Micro, a lot of the requests that the customers are making. And obviously with the public beta products, which they distribute prior to selling a new version of WindowEyes, that's just another form of interaction between the manufacturers and customers, and I only see that as good news.
Well, GFW does the beta thing, of course, as well, and they certainly take comments. We just don't know what happens. The problem is in the prioritization. You know, maybe your comments actually get in there and people read them, evaluate them, and decide that for other reasons they're not going to do it, and so you think, well, they didn't listen to me. So it's difficult to tell that they're not listening. There is an email address that messages are going to. We do know that.
Yeah, is it just
JFW did incorporate the increasing and decreasing of the rate of speech on the fly, which is something we've been asking for a long time as end users.
Yes.
So eventually it does get to somebody and they do hear us. I think WindowEyes is a little bit more upfront about we're going to do this or we're not going to do this because of their participation on their own mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
You immediately get an answer from Doug. Yeah, we're thinking about that. We're going to do that. Or no, that's not in the plans for right now.
Mm.
You can get an immediate answer from GW Micro, whereas from Freedom Scientific, you send it in and it seems to disappear, but maybe it does get to somebody. You don't know. You don't have that immediate feedback.
Maybe it's a perception thing by virtue of the fact that Freedom Scientific is so much bigger than GW Micro that you're likely to get answers from some sort of tech support minion somewhere, and it may well filter through to the chief programmer of JAWS for Windows, but you never know whether it has, really, in most cases anyway. Whereas if you send a message to support at gwmicro.com, you're likely to get a message back from one of the guys who actually writes the products.
Well, that of course has two sides to it. One thing is I like talking to technical people at my screen reader manufacturer. I also realize that while they're talking to me and thousands of other people, they're not actually working on the product.
Right, yeah. So there's an opportunity cost there.
Right.
Tech support in general. If you send a message with a problem, Do people feel that there is a difference in terms of the timeliness and quality of the response that you get back?
I think GW Micro is historically better in that regard. You can call a number and you know you're going to talk to somebody who knows the program. That doesn't mean everybody has perfect success with it, because they don't. But Freedom Scientific, although I think they've improved their on-hold, their hold times from the past, based on what I've experienced and what I've heard, used to be terrible. Now it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's still somewhat variable what you're going to really get from them. And again, though, if GW Micro, if they had, you know, 10 times the volume of sales, would the situation be the same? I don't know.
Well, I wonder, that what is the relative size of these two markets? Now, let me say it another way. Are there, how many JAWS users are there versus WindowEyes users?
I don't think anyone's ever going to tell us that, are they?
Huge difference, though, because JAWS has lots of government contracts that WindowEyes, that GW Micro doesn't have.
Well, that presents a tremendous increase in load, you know, that has to be handled.
The figures I used to hear in terms of staff in the Hender Joyce days was that there was somewhere in the vicinity of 80 people working for them and 8 to 10 working for GW Micro, and I don't know if that was how accurate that was, but...
My comments have to be interpreted with the fact in mind that I think tech support industry-wide needs a lot of work and maybe should be renamed to customer care or something like that, because I find tech support in virtually any company I talk to be not very technical. A lot of the people that you're talking to don't really have any knowledge of what's going on under the hood, and they can tell you what keystroke to push and some simple things, but they don't really, they give you a lot of answers that just don't make sense. And it's not just true of my experience with Freedom Scientific, but just all over the place.
Yeah, and I suppose for us, we tend to be on the, let's say, power user end of the spectrum here.
Yeah.
So we may not actually use either company's tech support resources very much. But,
right.
But from what I can gather, one is more likely to get, let's say, a form letter type response from Freedom Scientific, but that doesn't, of course, necessarily mean that it isn't helpful or that it doesn't answer your question. I also suppose that another major dilemma that either company will have is that some of the issues they'll be confronted with are clearly related to a blind person's inability to use a product or the operating system, but because of the close interaction between the product, the screen reader product, and the application, it's difficult to separate the two.
Yes, and applications are highly defective. There's a major problem there. And when I talk to the Freedom guys, I find lately they've been, I'd say, on a par with the national average of other things. My perception of the national average, not too bad. And that's amazing to me in light of the fact that Freedom Scientific has put upon them the need to support other products as well. They use JAWS, but now they have to be experts in Vera and OpenBook and God knows what else. A major job. And I'd say in light of that, they're not doing too bad.
I think that's something that happens, too, is that people call up and they'll say, I need to do this in Microsoft Word, and JAWS isn't doing it for me. And it has to do with turning off the bullets and numbering.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really understand what they're asking because people don't know the difference between the screen reader and Windows. They don't understand that it's the screen reader doing one thing and it's Windows doing another, or it's an application doing a third. So I think tech support gets inundated with a lot of questions that maybe are over their head by virtue of the fact that they are not skilled in every single application that somebody is going to want to access. So as a result, they get a bad rap. I called them. They didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
Well, it wasn't a JAWS question.
Right.
Yeah, but in some ways, JAWS asks for that, doesn't it? Because in many ways, the scripts are becoming so convoluted now for JFW that sometimes they completely modify the whole user interface experience. I mean. Let me give you an example. Control Insert F4 does not close the Office Assistant in anywhere except JFW. And there are a number of those sorts of commands. Brian actually talks about this when we get to his Word part of the program.
How else would you close the Office Assistant?
Well,
there is a way through Windows to close.
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
And so what you're doing is going far beyond reading the screen and actually designing alternative user interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether that's necessarily a good thing.
That's actually contrary to Freedom's philosophy, and that's one of the reasons that they don't like my work, is that I do more of what you're describing. And they don't like to present these alternative interfaces for that reason.
Mm.
So there are, and maybe there are a few examples where they have, and that's certainly one, but they don't generally do that.
And I think that's another reason why people really need to have a foundation in Windows and understand what they're doing and how they're accessing it, and that's where we need to get some really good tutorials, really good information out there for everybody so that they understand when they're using an alternative interface. Just tossing a newbie user some of these really powerful scripts makes them think if they go to another computer and, oh my goodness, there's Windowize, it's going to work the same way, and it's absolutely not. And people are growing dependent upon these scripts when they should be learning Windows first.
And I'm all for that if indeed those things that you have to do to get Windows to do what you want are efficient.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm talking about things like Microsoft Word, the things a basic computer user would use, somebody starting out, would not necessarily use SoundForge.
Right.
Would not necessarily use some of these more advanced applications that you guys are creating these scripts and these set files for. But if somebody has a solid foundation in Windows and combo boxes, edit fields, etc., they're more able to understand that, okay, this is something the screen reader is doing for me, and it's not something I'll be able to do on every computer.
All right. Let's assume that we've got both products home now, and we're installing, and we can start to talk now about the general getting started, coming to grips with the screen readers. Can we go through the installation process first? Does anyone have any comments on either or both installation procedures?
Well, JAWS just changed theirs. Was it a 3.7? They enhanced it. Maybe you've got enough three choices about how you want to do it. I haven't been all through all three of those. But I found it quite easy to do. Never had any problem except for we had some problems with the authorization thing earlier, and they did change the way they do that, and I don't have a lot of experience with it except to say that since they changed it, I haven't had any problems. Historically, there was a major problem there with authorizations. You could get all the way through the install, answer the questions, pretty straightforward questions. If you don't mind hearing JAWS install dialogue repeated 50 times all the way through. But once you got through that, you would then find that you had some sort of problem with your authorization disk. Extremely frustrating. It caused them a lot of trouble, and so much trouble that they actually went and brought on another system, which hopefully is working better.
Well, that's an issue in itself, of course. I actually got stung with this, which is that I had an old Everlock-based installation disk.
Oh, yes.
Got myself a new PC that was too fast or had some sort of different processor and couldn't cope with Everlock, and so I found that I was unable to install JFW on that new PC because it wouldn't authorize. So that's did you have a perspective on this, Brian, having installed both?
Like Jim, I found personally the installations easy to do. We've got a case at the moment over here. I've been talking to somebody recently where it's not compatible with the video card of their particular computer. Now, I know that Freedom Scientific, I believe, have actually worked on this a lot because it used to be a real problem with video cards and JFW in the past, but that seems to have come together a little now, but it's still happening from time to time, and of course you don't get this problem with Windowize. So in this instance, the customer actually contacted one of the dealers in the UK, and they recommended a video card, so he actually had to change the video card in his new computer.
Even with 3.7, this is?
Yeah. Mm. Just to get JFW working. So obviously that's not a good situation where you have to do that. But as far as I was concerned, the installation of both products has always gone through fairly swiftly and successfully.
I wonder whether any of you think that the installation of Windowize is a bit overly chatty. I think in its default state, Windowize can be a bit chatty, and it just seems to repeat a lot of stuff in the dialog boxes that pop up that for a new user could make the process a little less straightforward sounding than the JAWS install.
What's happened with me on several computers I've installed WindowEyes on is just a little thing, but when you actually put the CD into the drive, it says, the first thing it says is, if you answer yes, and then something else. It doesn't actually, it used to say, welcome to WindowEyes, blah, 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 etc. But now it starts off with a question that you're not sure what you're answering yes to. That's the problem I had with WindowEyes as far as the install was concerned. But of course, once you've installed the software itself, all your speech settings seem to go awry for some reason.
Yes. That's the frustration I have, and I don't know if that's exactly what we're talking about, if we're going to get into this later, but upgrading to a later version of JAWS I find much more pleasant than upgrading to a later version of WindowEyes. I have to totally redo all the speech settings, and as far as I understand it, there isn't any way around that.
Yeah, it used to be the other way around. I mean, I can remember when, you know, the days when JFW didn't have that nice merge utility that it has now. But I think that would have to be said to be correct. Upgrading JFW does tend to be a fairly painless process if all the software works the way it's supposed to. Yeah.
And I would even suggest that the original setting of the speech rate and pitch and everything in JAWS is a whole lot easier than it is in WindowEyes.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, because I wanted to cover kind of getting started. Once you've installed the product, and assuming that you're using it for the first time, how easy is it to make those first really critical adjustments? Because it's hard to concentrate on getting used to the new features until you've got it sounding the way that you want and voicing the degree of punctuation that you like. You're saying, Dean, that you think JAWS is a lot easier to set up in that way.
Yeah, just at least the initial speech rate setting, you don't have to worry about quite as many dialogue boxes and getting in and out of them and then applying your settings to say, I find it much simpler to do that in JAWS.
That's one of the things I found really bad about the timed WindowEyes 30-minute demo is that half my 30 minutes, or actually more than that, would be dedicated to that kind of fooling around and then trying to figure out how do I save this so when I reboot it, it remembers that. I actually found that I think it would be a major minus with regard to sales on that demo. It certainly was for me.
Yeah, because what's happening is that you've got voice settings all in the one place in JAWS, haven't you? Whereas with WindowEyes, you've got a screen, a dialog for the screen voice, and then another one for the mouse voice, another one for the keyboard voice.
With WindowEyes, you do have the global menu where you can set your screen and your keyboard and your mouse, etc. You can set them. And most of the time, you're only going to want to set your screen verbosity. I think the one drawback is when you want to set your punctuation, you have to go over to another menu to set your punctuation. And with JAWS, it does have that one menu with the dialogue where you can set your punctuation globally, etc. So I think there is a little bit of advantage there. But when it comes to WindowEyes, they do offer those global options so you don't have to change it for every application.
But does that have to be saved?
Apply the settings in that menu. There's an apply settings option.
And it takes several trips in and out of that menu.
Yes, that's right.
And now each dialogue box to get it right. It's not anywhere near as simple as the JAWS in my experience.
It's not as simple,
it is
but it's doable. I think that for anybody who is brand new to Windows, they're going to struggle with both of these programs because they don't understand dialogue boxes, menus, etc., and how to get into them.
I figured that the fewer keystrokes and context changes I have to do, the better.
Yeah.
Again, that just lets you get more done and focus on what you're trying to achieve instead of working with a screen reader.
Yes, it's been a view of mine for some time now that WindowEyes needs a complete redesign of its interface. For example, I would like to see that whole screen menu, keyboard menu concept be turned into one single dialogue for each of those selections. So instead of having a screen menu with a whole lot of choices that you arrow through, it should be one dialogue box for the screen, because what often happens is, let's say you're going to the screen voice and you turn it off, you actually press enter to turn the screen voice off, and then you're popped right out of the menu again. So you've got to back into Alt S for screen and arrow down. And for a new user, I just don't think that's intuitive. If you had a dialogue box so that you could change the radio button or press a checkbox to turn the screen voice off and then tab to the next option, set everything up the way you want, and then press the OK button.
But again, there you're assuming that somebody has an understanding of how to use the radio buttons and the checkboxes and all of those other elements. where I think WindowWise was looking, or GW Micro was looking at, menus are pretty straightforward. Use your down arrow, hit enter, use your down arrow and enter. I think they were looking at trying to keep it as simple and as fundamental as possible without expecting brand new users to figure out the difference between radio buttons and check boxes and combo boxes, etc.
Well, you certainly need to design an interface that is simple for the new user. But if that costs the experienced user time and energy, remember that the new user will become experienced.
Well, maybe we need an advanced user interface, a beginner user interface, or something like that. But to take and make it just for advanced users does eliminate a lot of the low-end users.
Where the tutorial tapes could guide somebody through that process really pretty easily. I just, never mind the new user, I find I get annoyed whenever I have to go in and set up WindowWise, and I shouldn't be looking at my, I shouldn't look at it that way, but I do. I find it really irritating.
Yeah, I'm interested, Kathy, and because I'm just not sure whether if you, for example, turn the screen voice off and you're popped right out of that menu, I'm not sure whether that's very intuitive to a new user either. They sort of think, hey, where did all my settings go? You know?
That is confusing, having that right there. I agree with you on that aspect. Turning off the screen voice is something that I don't think should be so readily available.
It's a scary thing to do. Actually, you have some of these issues in JFW's configuration manager, too, mm-hmm. where you change a thing and then it pops you out into the main screen for the config manager. You've got to go back into the menus.
And for many, just finding those options in the config manager is overwhelming.
I think all those managers are there. They question it. It's like going to the department store and wondering which department the thing you want is in, you know?
And it can be overwhelming when you hear all of those options and you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing.
But most people don't have to do those things. I'd say that the beginning user is pretty likely to not have to mess with those.
I think it's actually that the beginning
being fairly verbose and saying everything, and what you go in there for is to make it stop saying things.
Well, that's right, you see, and I find when I train clients that it's not so much that they don't have cause to go in there, it's that they're confused about how to. And when you have somebody who doesn't know terribly much come along and just flick a few configuration options, they're so grateful.
Hey, there's a related thing I'd like to talk about, and that is, you know, efficiency is this hot button of mine, and I think anybody who's on the job trying to do work for an employer and get it done in a certain amount of time is certainly keenly aware of that. One of the differences I've always noticed between JAWS and WindowWise is the order in which things are spoken when you arrive, as you tab around. You know, we learn a lot about the screen by moving the focus or moving the highlight. And the operating system wasn't really designed with that in mind, but we're doing it. And there's an inefficiency every time you move the highlight. There's a lag. There's a little half a second or as much as a second or who knows what, depending on the circumstances, from the time you press the tab key or the arrow key till the time you hear speech. And I've always much begrudged that lag, that delay. I want it to be right there, right now, saying exactly what's up. But also what's important, and I'm not sure that either of these screen readers is very good about that, at least not by my standards, and I think JFW has gotten worse as they've added new features. It's gotten slower, and I'm not at all happy about that. But second to that is, given that I've pressed the tab key and focus has moved to something new, the question in my mind is it the thing I want? So I want the very first syllables out of the speech synthesizer to be telling me something that'll help me answer that question. Is this what I want? And so you can say that the title or something that relates to what the item is, and then you can tell me it's a checkbox, and then you can tell me that it's checked, or you can do it in some other order. WindowWise typically would say something like checkbox, unchecked, and then tell me what it is.
That's an option, though. I mean, it's just...
Well, now they've told me that, because I've talked to the GW Micro guys about the demo, and they described it, oh, this is absolutely tailorable, but but at the convention I was at, where a guy actually sat down and tried to do it, it worked for some things. It didn't work for all things.
I actually have it set up the way that you prefer it set up in both WindowWise and JAWS. The only difference is that in JAWS, it's the default, and you can actually turn it the other way around if you want to in JAWS. And in WindowWise, they have the opposite is the default. But you can set it, because I have it set that way.
I had quite a conversation wondering why that wasn't the default, and I still wonder.
Yeah, I agree with you personally. Does anyone actually like it that way, having the check the button or the control spoken first and then what it does? Because it does seem hugely inefficient.
No, I don't think... In fact, I would say, and this is probably, again, another subjective area, I believe JAWS is a little tiny bit more efficient than WindowEyes. Part of it is I'm a fast listener, and I like to go fast, and you can't drive WindowEyes with its synthesizers as fast as you can drive JAWS. And even if the synthesizers are going the same speed, I think JAWS has a little tiny bit less lag than WindowEyes. And WindowEyes tends to be a little more chatty. I have to hit the control key more often with WindowEyes, I think.
Let's talk about context-sensitive help or online help in general. WindowEyes has its manual, its complete manual available as a newer style help file, and they also do have some context-sensitive help with Control-Shift-F1. JAWS for Windows has a help system, and it also has the Insert F1 help and the Insert H help. Is one screen reader more helpful than another one, particularly for newer users?
I think that JAWS has a lot more help. There are several kinds of help, obviously, as you've said, the Insert H, the Insert F1 once, and the Insert F1 twice.
Good point.
The Insert F1 twice takes you into a whole series of links, and this happens with a lot of applications. You get things like getting started, helpful hints, and a list of keystrokes as well. And I think these are quite good, actually, as getting started tools when you're using new applications. They really do give you a good feel for how the application works and some of the useful keystrokes that you should use. I think the problem sometimes with the Insert F1 once facility, and this gives you information about the document that you're working on, whether that's a web page, whether it's a Word document, whatever, is that when you press Insert F1, as far as I know anyway, there is no way of reviewing that information at a more leisurely pace. You actually have to hear the whole thing first, and then if you want to clarify something, you have to press Insert F1 again, because, again, as far as I know, it's not there visually on the screen.
Oh, that's, you're talking about Insert H, aren't you?
Insert F1, when you actually press that in a Word document, it says things like, this document has five columns in a table. Its margins are 1 inch on the left, 1 inch on the right.
And you can't review that. No,
you can't.
No.
No, and that's also true that you cannot review the Insert H and Insert W help, keyboard help.
Except in your script, which is really nice.
That's the way I like to do it, but with Freedom Scientific, you can't. I'd rather to be able to press Insert H and be presented with a dialogue that you could arrow up and down and think about the help.
Now, on the flip side of that, WindowEyes, when you press Shift Control and F1, it's a read-only edit box. Okay, so you can actually arrow through that if you want to. I think the downside of this one is that there isn't by any means as much help in the WindowEyes help for specific applications. Certainly it's not context sensitive in the way that JAWS is.
And it could be. I mean, the way that Control Shift F1 is structured, they can make it sensitive to any given window, etc. So it's just a question of what they've seen fit to put in the set files, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to comment on this, too. I think you guys are right about JAWS. I wish they did have the ability to review that information as well. I do like the keyboard help with Insert 1, which allows you to press keystrokes and hear what those keystrokes do in a particular application. I think it's really nice for review. WindowEyes, I think WindowEyes views itself as a support to Windows rather than as a means to accessing Windows. And that's one thing even that the people who create WindowEyes have confirmed, that they don't want it to be the way to access Windows. It's a support to accessing Windows. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't know about that would help far more than all of these Insert H and Insert F1 is if people just learn to press Shift F1 in their applications. because that opens up a little dialogue that tells you what that particular dialogue is and what's expected. Do you select from a radio button? Is it a place where you need to put your email address? What does it want? So I think combining the Windows help with the help of the screen readers is something that's really important that people need to do in order to access these applications.
I think you make a great point, Kathy Ann, about the insert one, because sometimes when you've assigned all of the different cursoring and hotkeys in WindowEyes, it would be so nice to just turn on a mode like that and fool around with the keyboard and find out what it's all doing.
But then you do have the option with Control-Shift-F1 where you could edit that and input all your hotkeys, which is really nice to be able to review.
Yeah.
So I think that that is a real plus on the WindowEyes side. And then JAWS kind of counters that with their Insert 1 so that you could listen to those keystrokes. But I would love to have the ability to just move up and down right there in an edit field and look at what I have assigned as far as these scripts are concerned and such, or these frames are concerned.
You do with the, I know what you'll say, new user, Keyboard Manager.
Keyboard Manager is a wonderful tool.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree. But then again, I'm thinking of right in the application. I want to know it right now. I don't want to have to fumble through a whole lot of stuff. I want to just see what those commands are in a nice little edit field. And I think that's where WindowEyes really shines in that area.
You can do it as two keystrokes in JAWS. You can be looking at a list of keystrokes.
Yeah, absolutely right. And you can search it, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like the searchable ability of it.
We're moving nicely to discussing the whole question of configurability. One of the myths I'd like to put to bed straight off, unless someone wants to violently disagree, which would make a great show, you know, is that there's this perception out there that JAWS only works with programs for which there are scripts, and I would go as far as to say that's absolute nonsense.
No disagreement from me.
Oh, absolutely no disagreement from me. I think that is nonsense.
I think it's really funny. I know, Jonathan, we were talking a while back how people are always asking, before they'll even try a program, are there scripts written for this program yet? And 95 times out of 100, there don't need to be scripts written for that program.
Another misconception, absolutely, because you can access 90% of the application with just straight Windows commands.
Yep.
Let me ask you guys this question. Is one screen reader easier for the average everyday configuration task than another one?
I think Jim's got something to say here, because I've gotten the impression from some people who know something about JFW scripting. Let's assume that you want to take advantage of the power that JFW has. You know, in terms of, you know, Frame Manager and then some of the WindowEyes set out writing, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between those two in terms of their difficulty levels. But the impression I have is that JFW scripting is difficult, and I'll even go so far as to say that there are some scripts that it's hard for a blind person to actually write independently, because it's sort of hard to monitor what's going on all the time.
Well, that, I don't know about that last comment. When you're in the script manager, you're in control, absolutely. Now, if you're talking about trying to figure out what the application does and what you should do about it, I would think that you would have that problem with whether you're writing set files or scripts. Scripts are like a programming language, so they are more of an esoteric art, I guess you'd say. I take it that set files is kind of like we used to have with Arctic, where you had hot zones on the screen and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that relates a little more to the physical universe that we all know and relate to. I think it's just it's an easier concept. No, that's nice.
I think that, too, when people say you have to learn scripting in order to use JAWS, you have to know how to write set files in order to use WindowEyes, that's bunk.
No, you don't have to.
People like Jim and Brian out there doing all the work for you.
Yep.
And all you have to do is pay a little bit of money, and Jim will send you these wonderful configuration files for JAWS, or you go to the GW Micro site, and you can download all these set files for WindowEyes. You don't need to know anything except how to access the application. Let these other guys do the work for you.
That's right. And if you do want to get into it, it's there, and you're able to get into it.
You have a choice, but you don't have to.
No, that's right.
Yeah, but
and there really are a lot of free scripts as well for JAWS. I'm probably one of the few people that are actually selling them.
Mm-hmm.
But, gosh, there are tons of scripts for things that people play around with, and they they say, well, this, you know, this works pretty well. This application's not bad, but it'd be kind of nice to have this extra thing, and they'll whip it up, and they'll put it up free.
Mm-hmm. So do people think then that there are more scripts for JAWS than there are for WindowEyes, bearing in mind what we've said earlier, in that you don't always need scripts or sets, but do people think that there are more scripts? Do they think it works with more applications than it does WindowEyes?
Well, first, are there more WindowEyes users or JAWS users? You know, if they're going to be more at one than there, if one screen reader is more in use, there'll probably be more customizations for it.
There's kind of separate issues, because, like we're saying, you don't need scripts, and like Jim was saying, there's somebody will decide that they want to make something work a little bit better. It already maybe perhaps works, usable, but they want to make it work better, so they'll do a script. Up until fairly recently, when we had Brian starts cranking out these scripts, these set files for WindowEyes, that's something that GW Micro and that community has lacked, is a real aggressive, competent WindowEyes set file writer.
Do they have a training course, for example, on that subject, or... You know,
because it isn't. There's a couple of chapters in the manual. I mean, it's just not as. Now, of course, there's some on-demand programs from the main menu series, but I don't think it's as difficult a skill. But
yeah.
It just hasn't been anything anybody has taken on to do.
Yeah.
So as a result, there are not as many set files for different programs as there are scripts for programs.
I think Freedom has. HJ certainly did have training courses on that subject.
Oh yeah, you can take some nice expensive courses if you want to. I don't think you would need to do that for WindowEyes set.
No, the manual's there that tells you most of the stuff that you need if you're a programmer and inclined to dig into it.
See,
there's a frame manual and a script manual, isn't there?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's all very well for you guys to say, don't worry, we've got competent people in the blind community writing script files. But let me give you a hypothetical scenario. Let's say I'm an internet geek. You see, I told you it was a hypothetical scenario. And I'm downloading... I'm downloading bits of shareware. And all I really want to be able to do is, once I've downloaded some shareware, you know, maybe just a case of setting a hotkey to read a particular part of the screen or some fairly basic things, but surely that's a fundamental aspect of screen reading, and it has to be made accessible.
Well, I think JAWS is a little more complicated in that regard. There are several simple things that are commonly done, like you described there. And you can do it by defining a frame and attaching a hotkey to that frame. You know, it's not that hard for somebody like most of us. But, you know, I think anything that you define that has power, you can think of a person who isn't going to be able to figure that out.
I'd like to give you
that certainly doesn't mean it shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I'd like to give you another example, too. And this is to do with WindowEyes' ability to label edit fields. And I was working with someone a couple of weeks ago where I knew that if we had access to WindowEyes, we were tabbing through fields in a custom-built application for a vocational setting. And every time we were tabbing, it was saying edit, edit, and nothing else. And with the field label hotkey, it would have been probably a two-minute process to label each of those fields with a specific label and get on with it.
JAWS does not have that capability, but it would be so easy for them to add. It's not funny. So I don't know quite why it isn't there.
Is Brian, you've been designing set files lately. Is there sufficient power? You see, I often wonder whether some of the things, for example, that Jim is up to in JFW are absolutely unequivocally groovy, but they're not.
I like that.
But they're not necessarily screen reader related. They're kind of nice add-ons that happen to be possible because of the JFW programming language. And I'm talking about, for instance, the scanning in SoundForge, which is a feature that many sighted people would desperately want, and Jim's been able to bring it to us through JFW, as has Brian in WindowEyes, though. But I just wonder whether, for screen reader-based tasks, Brian, whether you feel there is sufficient power in the WindowEyes set file system.
I'm not sure that there is. That there's more power than people actually realize, but it needs a bit of thought and imagination to bring that to fruition, really. That you need to use several tools in order to make things happen in WindowEyes. For instance, you need to use something called the key label dictionary in order to get some kind of verbose announcement when you actually press a key. you might need to set up a window, and then you might need to assign a cursoring key. So it's quite a long-winded, a long way round to actually accomplish a simple task. Let's take the scanning or the scrubbing feature in SoundForge. It was merely by chance that I managed to actually get that to work. It could have easily not happened, because the fact is, with WindowEyes, you cannot incorporate key presses into that application. The best you can actually do is simulate mouse clicks, or you can actually get WindowEyes to read part of the screen. In other words, what they call a user window or a hyperactive window when something changes. If they could incorporate some kind of macro language or the ability to incorporate key presses into WindowEyes, then the sky's the limit, really, the same as it is, I'm sure, with JFW.
In the set file environment, can you detect the creation and destruction of what the operating system thinks of as a window, as opposed to what you defined as an area on the screen?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure if you can.
I guess it'd be not.
I don't think you can grab the window handle, for example, and do things
right,
with
that. Right,
that's
the nice thing about the script language, is you can really get into the operating system and really work at a very low level and detect, you know, the occurrence of various events or conditions coming into fruition and disappearing. And
I've certainly not seen any documentation to say that you can do it.
Yeah, because a window is not necessarily a fixed area on the screen. You know, it can change in size. And
I've always questioned GW Micro's judgment. I remember when WindowEyes 1.0 was being written, and many of the Vocalize users were giving suggestions and feedback, and I said to them, whatever you do, you're going to have to find a new name for what in Vocalize you called Windows, because to me, to have user Windows and float Windows and hyperactive Windows when you're actually working in Windows, and the term window means something completely different, I've always found a bit potentially confusing.
I think also we're getting back to the question of responsiveness of the companies. I mean, a lot of people have asked GW Micro to do some things, and for whatever reason, some right, some wrong, they're not going to do them. I mean, people have been asking for some kind of simple macro capability, at least to grab some keystrokes, I think, for some time in that program, and I don't think it's going to happen.
For those of you who do have access to both screen readers, do you have a preference in terms of when you get a new application, unscripted, unset filed, does one screen reader tend to give you better information about what's going on the screen and what you need to do?
Since nobody's obviously answering, my guess, and I don't have both, my guess would be that WindowEyes' off-screen model is actually a little better based on what demo I've had and what playing around I've done with other people's stuff. JAWS has a number of quirks that have been around over the years where occasionally you'll find that there's a check mark to the left of this item, but JAWS can't see it, so you don't know if the item is checked or not. Or a little graphic that you simply can't find. That's been a real frustration for me in writing scripts, because oftentimes the controls that you need, you can't get a hold of unless you do something like calculate the pixel coordinates and go there and hope for the best.
One of the things that Dean will pick up when he does his Outlook Express piece for this program is that I've always found a really nice feature of WindowEyes, which does help in many situations, is the way that it is querying the list view controls directly without actually being limited to what a sighted person can see on the screen. I guess if you're a purist, you may say that's an unacceptable departure from screen reading. I know that JFW 3.7U is actually doing this in tree views now, but it's not yet doing it in list views. So what that means is, for example, when you're using Windows Explorer or indeed Outlook Express, you do get a lot more information verbalized than you do with JFW. And also, I think that the feature where WindowEyes is automatically speaking to you, obviously with the configurability to turn it off, the shortcut keys as you move through menus and tab through dialogues, is also a nice feature when you're just starting to learn a program, and you can reach a point where you can turn all that off. But
JFW does that. doesn't it? It says it last, as opposed to first.
I've never heard it do it.
Yeah, a lot of times if you're cursoring down in a menu, it'll mention the, like it'll say open, control plus O.
Separate thing. What you're talking about is the shortcut key that might be available from outside of the menu. But what WindowEyes will do is, for example, say O equals open, and then
oh,
control
the highlights.
Plus.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to do that in GFW, normally you just press the numpad 5 key and it'll tell you.
Right.
But it doesn't make you listen to it.
So you're saying...
I loved that feature.
Kathy, what did you say?
I said you could, once you get used to a particular application and knowing what the hotkeys are, you can disable that in WindowEyes. But a lot of people really like hearing those hotkeys spoken as they move through the menu.
I noticed that they have included it in OpenBook 5, which makes me wonder whether perhaps some future version of JFW will also include it.
Could be. My own preference is to just to be able to query it if I decide I want to learn it, not to be sort of forced to learn it. But another one of those.
Only mine too now, but boy, at the beginning I sure appreciated that WindowEyes feature.
Does anyone else...
Yeah, it's not something that's apparent in JAWS for Windows. You really need to kind of look around a little bit to find out that if you press the 5, there is a hotkey associated with that menu that you can press.
That's true.
So having that spoken to you, especially if you're a beginner, is kind of a nice feature.
We're heading towards the end of this, I think, and we've spent a lot of time quite appropriately on configurability because it's a big thing once you get used to the screen reader. Does anyone have some overall impressions that they would like to close with, something that either we haven't covered or that somehow is difficult to quantify in any objective way that you'd like to... Let me just go around the table, if I might. How about you, Brian?
Okay. There's only one thing I don't think that we have covered, really, and that's the fact that WindowEyes, I feel, is more responsive in different color settings than JFW is. JFW successfully, I think, really does, certainly for me anyway, only works in 256 color mode. Certainly in color modes like high color 16-bit and so on, a lot of the graphics don't seem to be labeled in certain applications, and it doesn't seem to work too well at all. And it's quite important, I think, for some users, particularly when they're using a family computer. They may have the computer set up for high color 16-bit or another color setting. For fully sighted people that are using it. And I think, you know, that's quite an important consideration as well. That's the only closing comment I'd make, really.
Does anyone else, before we go on to other people's comments, does anyone else have something to say on that point?
No, I think that's true. I agree.
Absolutely. I hope that JAWS will consider that and improve that product to match all these different colors so that you don't have to reconfigure your display every time you want to use it when you're
really
sharing the computer.
All right, Kathy Ann, did you have anything to add to the issues that we've talked about over the last hour or so?
Well, I think that I just wanted to remind people that, you know, it's really a matter of choice which screen reader you use, and you really need to try them out, talk to people. If you're going to be using a screen reader, subscribe to the list, get all the help you can from the people who are so experienced at using the application, and take advantage of the knowledge of others on the Internet, because it's a wonderful resource. And I think that's where a majority of us learned about computers, was by going onto these mailing lists and asking questions and becoming sometimes to the point of being obnoxious because you asked so many questions. I know I was. So I just encourage people to really try them both out, experience them, ask lots of questions, and decide for yourself what's best for you. And don't listen to your neighbor just because it works for them. They might have a totally different lifestyle, and they might need to have the ability to script, and they might be knowledgeable in programming, whereas another screenwriter might be best for you. So I just wanted to encourage people to try it before you buy it.
Dean, your thoughts?
A few points. One resource people should take advantage of that I had something to do with creating, and I think that could be useful for people, is the one-on-one training directory from the National Braille Press. A lot of people off in the middle of nowhere, even if they aren't in the middle of nowhere, they get the system, they need some training. The whole document, a whole list of available in Braille and large print and on disk of training resources, some of which might work for you. Another little tidbit is the fact that JFW alters how menus are presented, specifically the start menu and context menus, how menus are presented in Windows, so that you go into the start menu with JFW, and this used to be the case with ASAW back when it existed also, that you're immediately landed on a choice. That isn't really the way the menus work, and that's kind of an interesting philosophical feature. It's as if they don't think blind people know how to handle the start menu and shortcut menus the way they're really, made.
And Jim, your thoughts?
Well, I don't have any suggestions to people except to not limit your horizons. I'm not selling JAWS, and I probably will buy the WindowEyes as well at some point, because the best solution is, I think, what we really ought to strive for, what helps you get your job done, helps you live comfortably. That's what matters the most, not which of these camps you'd belong in. But for my money, I wouldn't want to sell myself short. I want a screen reader that lets me grow. And if I, maybe I'm not a very power user today, I may well be tomorrow. And that's where I think JAWS really gives you the ability to expand and adapt your environment to bring it under your control and save you time. But there are some accuracy issues that remain today. I seriously hope that Freedom Scientific will put some serious effort into improving the reliability of the off-screen model, making things be spoken when they're supposed to be spoken and not duplicated and not spoken after the fact. I have the impression that a lot of effort has been put into adding new features to the product over the years, and perhaps not enough into correcting some fairly fundamental flaws that have been reported and need to be addressed. And if they do that, it'll eventually be a really excellent product. It certainly has that promise, and I hope they do.
As we were talking about earlier, that it's a much larger organization than GW Micro. It seems like they ought to get it right. You know, let's get the thing working properly. And some of the comments that will show up in the other demonstrations, there are things that they really should have working. They really ought to be able to do it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think that we as blind folks throw in a little bit of gratitude here. I mean, I really appreciate the fact that I, as a blind person, this was not the case a few years ago, I can work in the same, you know, at least some of the same major applications everybody else is working in and do so pretty effectively. And I think that that's an awful nice place to be. Hopefully you're able to keep it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you all for being a part of this, and I hope that you will have your flameproof suits on for the email messages that will be generated as a result of the show. And thanks for coming on Main Menu and celebrating our first anniversary with us.